See the leaves from the trees falling in the lane. Hear the whisper of the wind to my window pane. And the birds who came to sing upon my garden wall keep telling me that winter's come and the snow it soon will fall. Every time I see the sun weaker in the sky, every time the rain comes down and the dark clouds roll on by, and the birds who came to sing upon my garden wall keep telling me that winter's come and the snow it soon will fall. But winter is a time of change, the dark before the dawn. And with it comes a promise of a new age to be born. And I have oft times wondered on the calm before the storm, the smile upon a mother's face when a new baby is born. And so you see behind the clouds the sun it always shines, but it has to wait its turn till the summer gets in line. And that's the way it is with life, there's reason to it all. And beauty is a winter's day when the snow begins to fall. La 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 la. And that's the way it is with life, there's reason to it all. And beauty is a winter's day when the snow begins to fall. Beauty is a winter's day when the snow begins to fall.
There you go. This is, what are we calling this? We're calling this the Lyrics Room here in CRY 104 FM. And across the table, of course, is Pete Duffy, singer, songwriter, author, poet, playwright, actor, and entertainer. Pete, thanks very much. That song, that's your very first, that's one of your own songs, of course. And what's the name of it?
From now on, only doing my own songs, John. And thanks very much for having me here today.
You're welcome. Right, Pete, where are you from?
Well, I'm based in Cork City, and so the old story is wherever you lay your hat, that's your home, like, you know. So I branched out in different directions in the music business, and I'm based in Cork City.
You're based in Cork City, and on the phone you were actually telling me that you used to travel around Europe, was that with music as well?
Yeah, and I lived in America too for 4 years playing music, you know. And so I travelled, I travelled around Europe.
And you play with bands?
I did. I was a one-man band for a long time, and playing the keyboard and, you know, doing the country scene and the pub scene and the dance scene. And yeah. I have more years behind me now than I have in front of me, like. But about 10 years ago, John, I owed this to myself. Like, these things were in the background all the time, and I could never really do them while I was doing that scene with the keyboard. So I kind of wound down, and I said I owe it to myself now to do my own songs. I'm doing other people's songs for so long. So I said, hook or by crook, now I'm going to take the chance. And then I realised, which was another ambition of mine, I wanted to write stories. So I've written 3 books now. I've written 5 books, because 2 of the books are they're all rated. They'd be audio CDs, but they're books, you know. So I've written 5 books, and I'm here now on the guitar and the harmonica, and where it's going to lead me,
and
I don't know, and I don't care. I'm following it.
Just going back there a little bit, right, Pete? Do you know, I presume you played in a lot of, did you play in a lot of bars or
I did,
in Cork, was it?
My scene was more or less outside the city, because I was into country, and then, you know, bread and butter was the old-time waltz, like, you know. Mm-hmm. I could do old-time waltzes till the cows came home. So I played these scenes, and I had a lot of material that I could fall into any situation. But the country was more or less my... outside Cork City was more or less my scene, you know.
You're talking Skibbereen, Cross Avon, Carrigaline, and all that kind of stuff.
Castletumbe, like, and Kerry, and, you know, wherever, like, you know.
How many years did you do that for?
Oh, 54, 55 years.
54 years doing that. Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And in that time, were the people of Cork good to musicians that time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like when we started the group, we had a group way back in the 60s called the Reptiles, four-piece band, four-piece. And we were kind of up against the show bands, you know. The show bands were there, like, you know. And, you know, we were all this hip, like, watching the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. We wanted to be a beat group, like, you know. And so, like, we were a scruffy lot too, you know what I mean? And a wild lot. But so way back, like, that's when it probably started, like, you know, down the road, like. But you know, in my DNA, country is in my DNA, like, because it was what I was reared with, like, country music and Irish and folk music, you know. So a lot of it would be in the songs that I do, you know what I mean?
Influencing country music to you, who would they be? Or would you have any?
I suppose Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. You couldn't go further than these two. Like, they wore the T-shirt, like, you know. These guys are icons, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's where I am, like, you know.
And that's where you are. And now, it's only now, as you said, that you owe this to yourself. And when you say that, you have to come out with your own CDs, yeah? You know, you have to make your own EPs.
Well, do you know, it's a new situation, in the sense that I was on the keyboard before. It made a four-piece sound, electronics and all, the keyboard. But now I'm on guitar. And I'm on guitar, acoustic guitar and harmonica. And I'm naked.
Yeah.
You know, this is all I have now. This has to make the sound. So my whole life was the electronic sound, like, you know. So I have the best of Pete Duffy and CD, you know, my original songs but I want to make it work in this vein now, you know. Maybe I have to do another album with the guitar and the harmonica, like, you know. So that's basically what it is. I had a load of tapes and CDs out before, way, way, way back, and they were all cover numbers. Like,
all
you know,
covers, yeah. I was just about to ask you that. Yeah. There's a huge difference in writing your own song and cover songs, isn't there? You know?
The three, even the four fields where I move, like, in between poetry, storytelling and songs, and acting. One of my stories was made into a play, like, you know. And they're all the same in you know, you're dealing, the root of everything is the words. I love words. I'm in love with words, like, you know. And, you know, you get words to rhyme in songs, like this song I just after doing down now, that's a poem.
Yeah.
But, like, my stuff rhymes so that it leans to songs, I suppose, like, a songwriter is always a poet, you know what I mean? Like the great Dylan, like, you know.
Robert Zimmerman. A lot of people don't know Robert Zimmerman.
He's the kiddie, like, you know, he'll tell us all what to do, you know. He's
the kiddie. And just for the matter of interest, do the lyrics come first and then the song and then the music in behind?
Could come anywhere. It could come anywhere. There is no set rule, you know.
There's not, no.
Not for me anyway, you know. I mean, you know, I could see something, like, I can actually write a song or a story from a title. I can see a title there. I see something down there. You know, whatever influences me, you know.
Yeah. So let's say, do you go by subjects? Do you know, as if, you know, if, I know a lot of singers and writers now as well, they go by subject, love and, you know.
Well, I suppose in my writing, nature is a big thing for me in my writing, but everybody is vulnerable in front of me, like, you know what I mean? You know, I just see things and I write it down. It could be anything, like, it could be on any subject, it could be protest, it could be a love song, it could be... It could be, you know, about the paedophiles, like, you know, I you know, you were very careful in front of me, like, you could be a victim, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's what, it's whatever comes out of you, like, you know. There was a great poet there before, Pam Ayers, she was inside the opera house. She used to write about her teeth and her shoes and everything like that.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant, like, so. Whatever, you know, whatever comes out of there, like.
Whatever goes with it. Yeah. At the moment, just for a matter of interest, Pete, well, out of your own songs, I know they're probably all your favourites, but would you be able to pick one of your favourite songs?
Huh? Well, what was my favourite, you know, a couple years ago? I'm writing new stuff, like, and then they're my favourites. I had one particular song, and the Western Front asked me would I go to St. Finbar's and sing the song on a big, massive anniversary, and I sang the song with the guitar, like, it's an anti-war song, like, you know, me and the guitar in something St. Finbar's Cathedral, like, one of the greatest experiences in my lives. But, like, you know, you learn things along the way. I'm going to do a song now, here now, like, and... It's a sea shanty, and it has no accompaniment, and I'm getting so much reaction to this song. No guitar, no nothing in it, just me and my voice, and I'm getting so much reaction. And you'll be trying to do rock songs there, no chords and everything, and then you I sing this inside in the bar, like, or wherever I am, and there, you could hear a pin drop, like. So, I'd after all these years, like, you know. How do you sum up music? I don't know, because you know, different places, and, you know, so you ask me what's my favourite song. Well, this is probably my favourite song at the moment.
This one, right.
Ask me again next year, and I you know.
You'll have I understand. Yeah, you'll have another one. Yeah,
I write nearly every day. I write poems, but they're 4-line poems, and. When I analyse them, what they really are, they're a verse in a song. So I'm writing these poems, and I find different ways to say things. I find different ways to say things, like, and so I'm actually writing songs in poem form. So the stuff I'm writing now, like, you know, it is I love the way it's coming out, like, you know. So.
What's this song, Pete, that you're going to sing?
This sea shanty. Well, I work on dredgers and ship boats. They were taking out the mud from Ringaskiddy, and they take them out by Roach's Point, and they dumped the mud. That was the deep water quay they were doing Ringaskiddy, and it was only about 2 city fellas there. The rest were from Cove and beyond and all that. Like, and fellas are telling me stories about guys, like, who'd go out fishing late at night. You know, in the dark, like, you know, old salmon fishing, and there'd be no lights, I didn't want the bailiffs to see him and all this, like, you know. Yeah. So that's what influenced me to sing this song. It's a sea shanty, and it's called Fishing. So that's basically what it is, you know. John, I want to dedicate this to a very, very special friend of mine, Iris. She's way out foreign, and so I'm going to dedicate this, like, but it is what you're going to get now. It's just my voice, you know.
Perfect.
So is that okay?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. A stormy night without at sea, we braved the waves, just you and me, to make a life out of the sea at fishing. We'll brave the gales most days and nights, to salmon fish, it is our right to feed the loved ones left behind from fishing. We have no work upon the shore, there's people idle by the score, to make a life we know no more but fishing. Oh, Johnny, now you mind yourself, no drinking booze tonight. I know you miss the family life, I know you miss the wife, but we must fish for many hours before the morning light to make a decent living from the water. And now the sun is rising o'er the waters to the east, and we have fished for many hours without a trace of sleep. We'll take the catch back to the shore for selling, and what we'll get is not too much for 20 hours a night. I keep on saying I'll pack it up when the time is right, but I know I'm only happy on the water. Oh, Johnny, now you mind yourself, no drinking booze tonight. I know you miss the family life, I know you miss the wife, but we must fish for many hours before the morning light to make a decent living from the water. Yes, I know I'm only happy on the water.
Wow, fantastic, seriously fantastic. Yeah, that listening to that and listening to the lyrics with it actually brought me back to my own hometown, Crosshaven and County Cork. You know, all the characters in that song, fantastic stuff. Ah, love it, Pete.
I've been influenced by a lot of great writers and singers in my lifetime, and there's all a bit of them inside me, you know. So, like, they say like that, okay, you know, I don't want to be anybody else at the moment, no, I only want to be me. But in saying that, like, I have a lot of other people's DNA in me. I'm influenced by a lot of these people.
Yeah.
You never have your own opinion. It's all a concoction of all these other opinions in your life, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of proud of who was there when I who influenced me. I'm proud of it, like,
brilliant.
You know.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, like, you know, the Clancy brothers there, Liam Clancy, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I don't think the man ever got the credit he deserved, one of the greatest singers, to get a song across, and the actor in him was doing it as well, like, you know. So that's basically what it is, like, you know.
Fantastic, right. You are also an author, Pete Duffy, right? And you've got a few books out as well. Well, you're after writing a few books yourself, yeah?
Well, I have three books in paper form, and then I have two books in audio form, which would be, you know, audio. You listen to them, like, you know, because people were saying they didn't have the capacity to, or the patience to read a book, even though my stuff is short stories. They wanted to hear it, so I brought out two books. The first book was audio. Then I had three books on paper, and then I had to bring another one out, audio. You know what I mean? So, I'm full of stories, like, you know what I mean.
Did you use tape recorder for the audio one, or was it one of these up to date?
Oh, I went into a studio for this. I have a buddy. He has a recording studio, and he we went over the stories. You know, I read them, and then he put music in the background. Mood music in the background, and it made a big difference, you know.
It did.
So I've got a reaction from this all over the world, and another thing, like, to fatten out my books, after every story I put a short poem in, or a poem in after that, just to fatten out the book, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm out getting massive reaction to the poetry. I didn't rate the poetry as such, like, I should have, like, but I'm not getting massive reaction. Universities out in Istanbul now and Japan, you know, they love the poetry, because when you analyse things, whatever we're doing, in every country they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing. Everybody's going up the road. Everybody's going to work. Everybody's making a cup of tea. Everybody's going to sleep. Everybody is doing the same thing. You think you're saying they're all different, like, you know.
Yeah.
I went to America, like, I was 4 years in America. And I was under the impression, because we're on an island here, like, you know, I was under the impression like that. Yeah, two heads over there. They were all doing the same thing as we were over here. You know, people worry about bills, and it's people don't realize that, like, no matter who they are, they're all doing the same thing. So,
same thing. So
you know, if I write about a road here, like, you know,
yeah,
they can understand it over there because they have roads over there too, and there's people writing about roads over there, you know. So,
this first book that you wrote, Pete.
This one is it's called Old Dog for the Hard Road.
Old Dog for the Hard Road.
Yeah.
Where did that come out of? Do you know where the?
I suppose it's kind of a title like I put on myself, like, you know what I mean?
You know, like
a one man band, like, you know. He puts the gear in the car, he goes away, drives down, gets up, sets it up, performs, tears it down again, comes back. He does it all himself. If a one-man band has a problem, or if he causes a problem, the only fellow who can solve that problem on the night is himself. So you become, I don't know, you become very resourceful, or you become very, you know, it makes you very strong, like, you know.
So I suppose
that's what came to me, Old Dog for the, it's a saying anyway, like, you know, Old Dog for the Hard Road, Pop for the Boring. So that's my first book.
And what year did you write that?
Oh, God, I don't know. It could be 7 years ago, 6 years ago, you know.
Yeah. Do you want to give an extract from it, if you want to, just a little?
I'll tell you something. You know, there is a story on it, and the story is actual. Even though I built characters around the story is an actual event that happened. Excuse me, John. Okay, so I don't want to be taking up too much time reading the story. So what I'm going to actually do is I'll tell you about the story, and then I'll finish it off with a part of the story. Okay, when I was living up in the north side, there was a phenomenon happened up in the north side. I say I was about five, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was involved in it. Up there was a monastery up from us. And they saw the Blessed Virgin up in the tree.
The North Man?
No, it was up in Baker's Hill. They saw the Blessed Virgin up in the tree. And to a fierce commotion, because, you know, Catholic Ireland back in when I was five, like, you know what I mean? So there was fierce commotion, photographers, people were saying the rosary and all, singing hymns, or kneeling down up in the night to see the Blessed Virgin up there. And as I said, it caused a massive phenomenon. So in the end, anyway, like, the bishop became very aware of it, like, you know, and people sitting out in all hours in the night watching the tree, like, you know. So he wrote a piece in the Echo saying about the tree, because this was the day after he had sent the corporation up to cut down the tree. Corporation took the tree away in the back of a truck. So this is the end piece anyway. The bishop issued a statement in the front page of the Evening Echo, saying it had only been because part of the tree where the bark was gone had become all smooth and shiny over the years from the weather. Then, when the reflection of the full moon shone on that part of the tree, to the people on the ground, it looked like the Blessed Virgin. That was his statement, like. So, in the end of the story, he said, I was very young back then, just a nipper in short pants, when this strange phenomenon happened up in Baker's Hill on the top of the north side of Cork City. But I know for a fact, to this day, some of the older generation up in the north side still believe 'twas the Blessed Virgin.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic, yeah.
So that was the you know, as I said, John, I don't want to be, you know, stories take up time, and we got a lot to get through here, like, you know, so.
I love listening to stories, I really do. And
so you call it as you see it, John, and I'll follow your guidance.
Not a bother, Pete. I'll tell you what we'll do, Pete. We'll take a commercial break here. We'll get back on to about the playwriting then and the acting and all the rest of it then. Is that okay?
John, that's grand with me.
Thanks, Pete.
This is a little country song, John, and it's, you know, it's I class it as country blues. So, I I'm getting great reaction for this song. Like, I suppose maybe it's people, like, and maybe people can associate with it, like, you know, but it's called... I'll be on my way. You don't have to worry. I'll be on my way, and I won't be back to you another day. I know we spent the last few years playing the lover's game, but it seems like moving on time anyway. It's a season since you lost a child, when spring was in the air, and you blame me just because I wasn't home. Now we've drifted so far apart. They say you found another man. I guess that I'll be moving when I can. But it takes two to fall in love and two to fall apart. Oh, just like me, you're half as much to blame. On my way, and I'll never fall in love with you again. Talk to people on the street, God knows I've done my best. I tried so hard to live me down to shame. I can't keep feeling sorry for the night I was in here. I was laying in the arms of your best friend. Be on my way, and I won't be back to you another day. I know we spent the last few years playing the lover's game, but it seems like moving on time anyway. Just like me, you're half as much to blame.
be on my way. And I never fall in love with you again. No, I'll never fall in love with you again.
A little bit of heartbreak, Pete.
Yeah, good for a clinger.
Yeah, lovely, lovely song. Yeah, as I said, a little bit of a heartbreaker, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it touches everyone, like, you know.
Yeah, and do you write that about someone?
I don't know. Maybe I did, like, subconsciously. Maybe I did, like, you know. But you know, they've lost an awful lot in modern country, because that was deep in old country. Like,
mm-hmm.
the most perfect story in the world is a country song.
It
tells everything. Like, all aspects of all emotions are in it. Like, and life and death is in it, and all, like, you know. And so like, maybe I did subconsciously. Maybe, you know, like, we don't go through life without getting scars, like, you know, and ups and downs, like. But, like, you know, it's they say it's the rough times make you strong, like, you know. So
yeah. Oh, Pete, it actually reminds me, right? Look, I'm sorry, you know, for taking the light for a second, but I write songs as well, right? Okay, you know, and like that, I'd be subconsciously singing a song, and I know who it's about, but is it about this or this or this? They are powerful, their songs, aren't
it's
they?
It's a purging, John. It's a purging.
Exactly.
You're getting it over yourself. It's a purging. It's a healing for you.
You're letting it all out, the fella.
Yeah. Well, I don't do a song in half at all, like.
No, and I hear.
I don't do a song in half, John. I don't care who's in front of me. Like, I let it out, like, you know.
We can hear it.
You're getting a full blast from me.
Fantastic.
Because I'm healing from it as well, like.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
It's taken a while, as the fella says. Do you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I make no excuses for who I am, like. And
exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Poetry, we mentioned before the break, Pete.
Yeah, I put poetry up every day, but I seem to get write a lot of 4-line poetry.
This on your Facebook page, actually.
You've got
Pete Duffy Facebook page, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was putting up, and what I've been doing lately, and it sells the poem too, is I'd have a photograph, and the photograph. Would you see the photograph and you see the words underneath it, like, you know, and then for each individual, then they take something different from that. They see that different, and that's grand. That's great, you know. Like, that's great. Like, whatever you get out of it, take it. Like, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
4-line poetries. So this is I'll read a small bit, because I'm playing music down in Castletown Bear, and I. If I went into a bar, usually in my practice was, I make a beeline for the old people.
Yeah.
They're full of knowledge.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love their company.
Yeah.
I love their company, and I love what they can tell me, and you know, they I love what they're talking about and things like that, because I love stone walls, and I love trees, and I love, you mm-hmm. know, that's who I am.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was talking to this guy, and he's a shepherd. And he, at that stage, he could have been 85, like, and he's up there having a drink, like, you know. And what actually happened was, I gave him a lift home one night, and then we became great friends. So he said that he had sheep up in Hungary Hill, down around Castletown Bear there, you know.
Yeah.
And he said he had for a long time, but he said he had in the roof to the nephew or something like that. But he said his practice was, he'd go up with the old sheepdog every day, and he'd go up to see the sheep, you know. It was probably old habits die hard, like, you know.
Mm.
So I wrote a small piece, and it is a small piece called A Shepherd. The old man walked on feeble limb, his hair a shock of grey. To herd the sheep on Hungary Hill, he slowly made his way. The mountain stream sang out his praise. The summer breeze blew through while he whistled, "Life is beautiful," in the early morning June. So I try to, I haven't the energy for long poems. I try to get it all into a short space of time, you know.
That's
what I mean?
Fantastic. No, seriously, you can see it. You know what I mean? I can actually see that gentleman going up the mountain in the morning and just all that stuff going through.
Well, that's it. You can see, yeah. Well, I'm trying to paint pictures, and if you saw that picture, I'm successful, you know?
Exactly. No, you've got it. You are success. Yeah. Book, the second book, or no, sorry, Pete, the poetry, as you said, the four line poetry. Have you got a book of poetry as well?
I really didn't rate my poetry. I really was putting it in between, it would be between every, in the three books, there's a poem between every story. Yeah. You end the story as a poem, and then you go on to another story. And I was trying to break up the people, you know, the energy, like you short story, like you'd have the energy for a short story. And then I didn't want another story jammed up against it. I wanted that they have a break, and then the next story then would be completely different, you know?
But I said,
I was thinking about putting a little drawing or something in there, but I said I'd put a poem in there. And it's a transparent that people love the poetry, like, you know?
Yeah.
They love the poetry, like, and I'll be honest with you, I've come to love it myself now, you know? You know, you give them priorities to some things, like, but I tell you, I come to love it myself because it's important for me too. I'm getting things out of me too, you know?
Of course, of course, yeah.
So that's basically what it is, you know?
At the very start of the programme, we said that you're a playwright as well, and you also said that you say that one of your plays is after being successful.
Yeah, I'll explain this to you. This is a very zany, wacko play, like, you know. And I got to thinking one day, you know, when Kennedy had an affair with Marilyn Monroe, and the press were hounding him, you see, so they hid Marilyn Monroe for 2 weeks. Nobody knew where Marilyn Monroe was. The press couldn't get at her. They hid her. They didn't know where she was. So me, I think outside the box, like, and you know, I'm not in that square at all. I'm outside it. So I had Marilyn Monroe anyway jumping on Air Force One, and she was brought into Cork, and she was living out in Blackpool for 2 weeks with an old woman and a fella called Timmy the Spy. And they were, the actual house was an IRA safe house, you know, an old house. And the things that happened, he took her to the Lido Cinema and everything. And he brought her to the pub, and they were thrown out of the pub and all because she was doing dancing and all this. And when she went back to, after the 2 weeks when she went back, like, she was eating crew beans and whatever, like, she was a different woman, like, you know. She actually reverted back to Norma Jean because she had great friendship with the old woman, old woman, Charlie, like, you know. And the old woman was a mother she never had. And the Charlie Dinn had Marilyn, the daughter she never had. And they were great. They were Connie Shoren and all this thing, like, you know. Brilliant. Smoking woodbines and all, and taking pinches of snuff, like, you know. And so all this, like, you know. So anyway, I had great faith in this story. And anyway, so the group out in Douglas got hold of it, and we put it on in the Women's Association hall outside there. 120 people got in to see it. And so they said to me, we're very interested in doing the putting her into the play, but only on one condition. You have to take a leading part in it. I never acted knowingly in my life, like, you know. So for the play, I said yes. I tell you, it was the greatest experience in my life because I never concentrated so much as an actor's life must be the hardest in the world.
Yeah.
I was going up the field talking to the dogs, learning my lines. And every time we done the play in rehearsal, I made a mistake. And it was effing and blinding and everything. I was getting very angry at myself. And so we were up anyway for the performance, and all the people were outside there. And the bear woman was Rose, like, this is her ordinary name, like, you know, but yeah, she was the bear woman. So anyway, I was waiting for my lines anyway, blank. Didn't have a clue what I was supposed to be saying. Blank, up in front of all the people on the night. I said, Rose, I'm out of getting my lines. I got such a dig in the shoulder anyway, and it all came back to me. So
I have it now.
Whatever, she rattled in the brain. So and then it ended up a massive success. And I'm still trying to get it on other places, like, you know. But I have so much on my table, like, you know. But very zanny, like Marilyn Monroe, like, and she. So it's a very unique concept, like,
yeah,
you know, so that was the story that it's called Services Rendered. Timmy Despoy, who was running the safe house, was asked to take Marilyn for 2 weeks, and then at the end of it all, Marilyn went back, but the Kennedys sent him a Congressional Medal of Honor for services to the American nation.
Very good.
so that was it, like, you know.
Very good.
But it was a zany, like, you know.
And
so.
did it progress from anywhere else? It hasn't.
No. And I tell you the truth, like, you know. I haven't enough hours in the day to give time to a lot of the things I'm doing, you know. You see, I transferred over from the keyboard what I was doing, and one of my weak points was the guitar. I have to bring this guitar up to scratch. Really, everything else is okay, and I have to go back out and perform with this guitar for where I want to go. So that has been priority, you know, for the last year or so.
Yeah.
And it's coming on because I want to go on tour, you know. It's coming on. And so, you know, like, other people know, like, they'd be just writing plays. They can concentrate everything on that, but I have too many irons in the fire, you know.
But you're multitasking. That's what's happening. You're working.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I do a show. And I suppose it's the nearest thing of tying everything together. I do a show. I done them in the library, and I done them in Men's Shades, where I get up and I do my poetry, I sing my songs, I read my stories, I chat, I make jokes, and it's all in. I pack it all into an hour. I get it all into an hour, and I go from one to the other. So that's the nearest I get to tying them all together on the one night, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I suppose I'm doing it here now, to a degree, like, you know.
To a certain extent, yeah. Yeah, like, you can see that, like, you can see that you put your heart into your own stuff, and I can see that myself just from here, you know what I mean? And the people that'll be listening, they'll know as well that you actually put your heart into it, you know what I mean? And that makes a big difference.
Yeah,
it makes a huge difference.
Well, you're throwing energy out and you're getting energy back off of them then, you know, the time you're connecting.
Yeah, once you're connecting with people. Entertainer as well, Pete, right? You were saying that you're an entertainer. No, you are an entertainer. You are an entertainer, plain and simple. You ran about the very first song that you were singing, or the unaccompanied song, and you sang
Fishing. Yeah.
You go to these, you're actually invited to these little groups as well, you know, to go and perform there and entertain.
I'm in with groups of like-minded people now who are doing their own stuff. And basically, the avenue for me is open mics on a regular basis. But we done a show in the library down there a couple of weeks ago. And I tell you, John, I'm willing to help anybody out in any situation. If there's a gap there for me where I can do some of my own songs, like, I'd be very interested in doing it from anybody who wants an original. But I only go under the label of no covers. Original stuff, like, if I'm going to be singing my songs, it's my songs.
It's Pete Duff you're getting.
That's right. No, but I had enough. I'm not saying I had enough, but I paid my dues to covers, like, you know.
Yeah, this is why you're doing this now.
This, of course.
From now on, this is you. You owe yourself this. Oh.
I do. Yeah.
All your own stuff has gone out.
When we started the band originally, way back in the '60s, I wanted to play the guitar.
Mm.
And there was four of us in the band. Anyway, the lads were grabbing positions anyway, and I ended up playing the bass. And I was a disaster. I couldn't play for nuts, like, you know.
Yeah.
So then the band broke up after so many years, and I went off to the keyboard because there's a lot of... you're carrying all the musicians in the keyboard. But, yeah, like, that goes way back to that time I wanted to play the guitar, and I couldn't make a hand of it, like, you know. And I wanted to play the guitar, so I'm making the dream come true now at the moment. You know?
Yeah,
it's taken a long time, but, like, it's the older the wine, they say, you know.
But you seem so happy in yourself doing
I'm on a trip. I'm on a trip, John.
You're on a trip,
and I don't need any drink for it.
Yeah, and that's another good thing as well. Like, you know, it's not like this. What I've listened to within the last almost or whatever. It's just absolutely fantastic, like, you know. Would you help if some young lad came up to you now, or some young girl, and she said, look, I'm trying to write songs here as well, will you give me a hand? What would your advice to them be?
I'd help them.
Would you?
I've been in one bar there now, you know, and we do Monday nights there now, you know. And, you know, sometimes I'll open the show, I get up and do four songs. And I tell you something, it's like the United Nations. There's Argentinians there.
Mm-hmm.
There's girls from the Indian Ocean. There is Estonians. There's every nationality, because it's hostile, you know. And the people that get up there, Canadians get up there singing a song. Australians get up there and singing a song. I'm rubbing shoulders with, it's like talk about being cosmopolitan, like.
Yeah.
So I people come in there, like, and I'll be honest with you, like, you know, I'll help anyone. And you befriend everyone, you know. They come in and they come in and you befriend everyone, and you try and do what you can for them, like, to help them out, or even if it's checking their sound or anything like that. So, like, you know, they're all in the same boat, like. You see, okay, I'm playing in Yall now, we say, down the road, you know, and I'm doing covers. Same fella, the fella next door doing covers too, and the other fella down the road doing covers. But if I'm in a bar and I do an original, and no matter how good I'm doing it or how bad, 'tis the best it will be, because there's only one fella doing Pete Duffy.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So inside in these places where they're doing, they're doing their own stuff, like, you know, and I'm in the same boat, and it makes a great bond or a brotherhood, like.
It does, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It ties you together, like, you know. So, buddies of mine, you know, like, they're a top band, and chances are very good now they're going to do one of my songs, you know. And that I tell you something,
Listen, Pete, it was a pleasure actually coming in and meeting you, all right? And will you finish out with a song?
I will, of course, yeah.
And do your own thing, yeah?
I will, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Gallagher's, I think, in Cork, you'll be sometimes in the open mic, maybe. Or is it the one by Gallagher's Station?
Gallagher's has gone out. The Brew Bar is on a Monday night. But the Gallagher's has gone out. There's really, and the Friary on a Sunday night. But there's not too many though, but they'll come back again, like, you know.
The breweries by the Gare Station, McCourtland Street, is it?
The Friary. It's the end of Shannon Street, next to the funeral parlour. So if you can't go, you're not fair to go, like, you know. But it's a very old place. It's on the right, on the corner by the bridge, you know. Mm. They have Sunday nights there. So wherever I'm looking, any gap will do me. I'll go into a concert, and any gap will do me.
And anyone that's listening, they can look up the Pete Duffy Facebook page, and your poems will be up, or your poetry will be up there, along with pictures and all that.
John, you know, what I'll do here, because it seems to be the vein of the show since we started off. This was the first song I ever wrote.
Wow.
And what influenced me, I suppose, in the writing was all my people came from a place called Broad Lane inside the North Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broad Lane, when the new St. Francis Church has been done back in, I don't know, maybe whatever, 30-odd or something like that, could be earlier, but they knocked the church, and then they were making a bigger church, so they knocked the lane. Tenement houses, and the people moved up to the north side. So all my people were from Broad Lane. So this is a little song called Broad Lane.
Listen, yeah. Pete, it was a pleasure.
And John,
I
can't thank you enough for having me here.
Not about it. And you're going to play us out with Broad Lane.
A song called Broad Lane. you know, I when I was doing this song, I said, you know, the song's called Broad Lane, but it's about, you know, I mentioned my mother, Kitty, from Broad Lane. And there'd be people saying, oh, give sing the song, because we missed the house since the mother went, like, you know, and this could be anywhere in the city. Everybody have their Broad Lanes.
Everyone.
When you leave your mother's house, your mother's house was the Broad Lane. And you know, like, it's always a spot, like, where you were reared up, like, you're talking about Crosshaven, you know, it's always a spot in there. So I do this in old time horns form. Thank you. Well, me mother's name was Kitty, came from the town of Cork, from a place just off the North Main Street that long ago's been known. Before she took me father's hand, Sullivan was her name, and she was known as Kitty, who came from old Broad Lane. Now Cork, it was a busy place back in 24. People trying to earn a bob, keep hunger from the door, like her sisters and her brother. Me mother, she had to work, find a way to make a life in the dear old town of Cork. In Patrick Street, you could hear the trams travel through the rain as Father Matthew's statue tried to help us to abstain. But the greatest joy in being alive, I heard me mother saying, was the happy sound of growing up that came from old Broad Lane. Now me uncle's fame was far and wide when he was 17, for pigeon toss and pigeon lofts his kind 'twas seldom seen. And me aunt, she was a dealer, to the colke she laid claim, spent all her life 100 yards from a place they call Broad Lane. But when people try to settle down, sometimes they have to move. 'Tis called a march of progress, sure it changes all the rules. A whole new life it must be made, but it's hard to break the chain. And 1,000 memories still live on of a place they call Broad Lane. Oh, in Patrick Street you can hear the trams travel through the rain as Father Matthew's statue try to help us to abstain. But the greatest joy in being alive, I heard me mother saying, was the happy sound of growing up that came from old Broad Lane. 'Twas the happy sound of growing up that came from old Broad Lane.